It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. During a recent color-only program, Scott in Superior asked us to examine the critical work of Child Protective Services. State authorities say the goal of Child Protective Services is to help parents and caregivers make necessary changes so that kids are safe and protected in their homes. Call in with questions or your comments at any point, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. DJ Miles is Child Protective Services Manager for Green Bay in the southern part of the state along the Illinois border. DJ, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you. And it's Monroe, Green County.
Oh, Monroe, Green. Yes. Okay, yes, thank you. Ashley Nelson is Children and Family Services Supervisor for Rusk County. Did I get that one right?
Yes, you did.
Yes, okay. You're up in the northwestern part of our state. Good morning, Ashley. Let's start with you. Child Protective Services in Wisconsin receives tens of thousands of child abuse and neglect reports, suspected child abuse and neglected reports each year. How does a local agency like yours decide which reports to follow up on?
So when we receive a report of alleged abuse or neglect, we compare that to the statute. What does that definition of abuse or neglect look like? And what is the information in the report? Do we feel that that is enough sufficient information for us to intervene into a family's life? So we compare the information to what the statute says the definitions of abuse and neglect are.
How much time and effort do you look at each individual report that comes in?
We spend a lot of time reviewing those reports and making sure that we have thorough information. And if we need to gain more information to make a more informed decision, that we follow up on that and we do that, because we don't want to violate anybody's rights by intervening if we really don't have the authority to do that. But we also want to make sure that if that family really does need assistance, that we're getting to them so we can help them through this.
DJ, help us also understand how these reports come to your agency, you know, how do they come to the county level?
Mostly from people from the community via phone. And then we do get some people walking in, or emails or letters, but primarily over the phone from members of the community.
And so what happens to reports that are screened out through this process?
All reports that come into the agency go into our state automated information system that is a confidential database that only basically people that do our job in Wisconsin can see. So any report is recorded in that system, whether or not it's screened in or screened out.
Okay. And so, DJ, a screened in report by Child Protective Services means that a social worker will be following up, will make a face-to-face contact with a household either that day or perhaps some days later. What is that first meeting like?
Well, the first meeting is basically trying to build rapport with family and gathering information to determine if, you know, what are the next steps are. But it really would depend on the case and the family. Most cases we have anywhere from immediate to up to 5 days to respond to any screened in report, depending on seriousness.
Ashley, in this first contact, an initial contact, how do you establish trust? How do you build rapport?
So when a worker is showing up at a family's house or at the school, we're really there to say, hey, we have some information. We're here to help. And we're there, you know, just as much to show that this didn't happen as much as, you know, we have to figure out if it did or did not happen, because we're there to establish safety. But really, we're trying to talk with the family about what's going on. What can we do to help? We're not the bad guys, because that is a common reputation that CPS just has in general, is that we're the bad guys. So that is a big barrier to break down right away. But you know, just establishing right from the beginning that we are here to help, like no matter what that circumstance is that led us to the family, we really do want to help and move forward.
We're talking about the work of Child Protective Services in Wisconsin. Ashley Nelson is with Children and Family Services in Rusk County. DJ Miles is with Child Protective Services in Greene County in the southern part of the state. You can join in along the way with your questions at 800-642-1234. So, Ashley, social workers with Child Protective Services determine whether a child needs to be ultimately removed from the home. How do you get to those steps? How do you determine whether that step is needed?
So, really, removal from the home is going to be our last resort. That is not what we want. That's not the goal. But there are some cases where we just cannot keep a child or children safe in that home. That's never the goal, but if a child cannot be safe in that home, the safest option is for them to go someplace else that is safe, and we always try to make sure that that's family, too, or somebody that they know, so it's not them going with a stranger, but the goal is to keep them in the house if we can do that, if we can get services in the home, other people to help monitor safety, then that's the route that we're going to go if we can make that work.
DJ, how do you take that step? How do you decide whether a child lives with, you know, lives with a family member or within a foster care home or group care? What is that like?
Well, like Ashley said, we look for what's called the least restrictive environment. We try to keep children in their home if at all possible by putting in services in place could support the family to keep the child safe in the home. If that isn't possible because of the circumstances or possibly the family isn't willing to do that, we would next look at family members. And then if we absolutely can't find a family member, then we would maybe look for a foster home. And then we would continue to research and try and find family members if we possibly can as soon as possible to put the child in the family setting.
And in the family setting, why is that so imperative? Why will you go to much greater lengths to keep that child in their next of kin?
Well, what research shows is that children fare much better within their natural family and their own community where their peers are, where their family is. And actually, in many cases, the child can be more traumatized by being removed from the home than actually trying to keep the family together.
Ashley, you know, I want to run this by you. Columbia University researchers, they poured through two decades of national data finding that foster children are at a lower risk of poverty than other children. What do you make of that? And is this happening in your region?
I guess I don't have an answer for that, to be honest.
DJ, do you have any insights there? Because, you know, poverty is a big issue here. It's traumatic. It means instability. How does foster care then fit into this overarching system?
Actually, any research that I've been aware of that outcomes for kids coming out of foster care, particularly if they age out, actually fare worse overall in terms of employment, education, and overall success. So I'm kind of surprised by that data.
Yes. We have DJ Miles and Ashley Nelson with us. They support child well-being and protection as supervisors in Greene and Rusk counties, opposite parts of the state. You can add your voice throughout the discussion as we examine the work of Child Protective Services. Call in with your question at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The System for Keeping Children Safe, Child Protective Services, it typically receives tens of thousands of reports of child maltreatment in a year. And we learned what this means at the local county level. And thanks again to Scott in Superior for suggesting a program about child protective services. You can call in with questions and thoughts anytime at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have DJ Miles, who is Child Protective Services Manager for Greene County. Ashley Nelson has this role for Rusk County, and they stay with us. DJ, a family may voluntarily participate in child protective services or, in other cases, be court-ordered to participate. What challenges do your social workers face when developing a child safety plan?
Well, it can be very complex, and we try very hard to keep children within their homes, and it could require anything from daycare assistance to round-the-clock supervision, ideally by family members. It could be any number of things. So, I mean, I think the challenge is building rapport with the family so they are on board, finding people to provide the supports, and having the resources to provide those supports.
What about those resources? How is your budget doing?
It's always a challenge, but you know, we've been pretty successful to provide as much as we can, particularly in, and I think Rusk could be the same, small counties that don't have a lot of outside resources, but we're pretty creative. The state also gives us funding if you participate for safety support services, which helps pay for some of those things.
Ashley, what is your experiences building these child safety plans in Rusk County?
So I'm going to have to agree that in a small county, you have to be very creative. We are not very rich with resources or services, so we really do lean on family members and family friends to assist us with supervision in the home if that's the case. But we do try to be creative. There are a lot of challenges when you don't have like AODA providers or mental health providers.
What is AODA? Can you explain?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yep. Alcohol or drug abuse.
Okay.
In Rusk County in particular, one of our biggest challenges is methamphetamine use. Mm. We don't have a lot of providers that can assist families through that. We're very limited, and that is a big issue here. And I think it is across the state, but that is a huge challenge when we can't address the actual issue and the concerns with the parents and move them forward. That is a huge barrier for us.
DJ, do you find barriers to methamphetamine abuse?
Some, but actually Greene County has been pretty fortunate that it hasn't touched our county in a mass epidemic like it has in other places throughout the state. But we certainly have a significant number of child abuse and neglect reports related to alcohol and drug abuse.
I wonder, with geography being on the Illinois border, how do you manage that when family and friends may live in another state? Or is that not an issue?
It's an issue. It can be. We can typically work with the other state to provide some courtesy services. There is a thing called Interstate Compact, which you can make a request for the other state to provide services. If it's, you know, it kind of depends. If it's close across the border, we can sometimes just make that work.
Ashley, what about you in a rural area? How far do your social workers travel to meet with families?
I think at the furthest distance, it's about an hour.
And is that a barrier at all?
Yes. It is a huge barrier, especially when you need to go meet with a family in their home. And it's also a barrier for those families. Sometimes it takes them an hour and a half or longer to get into town or any place with services. So given financial resources and providers available, that them are barriers for families.
How, I wonder, did the COVID pandemic changed these meetings, or what has gone back to normal and what hasn't?
So I think
both of you can definitely unpack that. Ashley, you first.
Okay, so we are back to normal from COVID, here practicing in Rusk. And during COVID, that was very, very difficult because if you can't go into the home for, you know, quarantine because somebody's quarantined or it's hard to assess safety when you can't get eyes on a family and be in there and talking with them. And that's hard to build trust when they can't see you or they're looking at you over a screen, over Zoom. It's hard to build rapport with somebody through technology.
Mm. What has that been like for you, DJ?
Similar to what Ashley said, I think one thing maybe not everybody understands is that we still were required to go into the field during the pandemic. We took precautions, but we still had to meet with families. And we still had to go into homes, but yes, there were challenges if people were quarantined or, you know, were sick or staff got COVID. So that was a challenge, but we still had to pretty much do our jobs to the best of our ability. The state did allow us to do virtual contacts in when possible or when it was okay. And that has been lifted too. So we're pretty much back to normal.
We have DJ Miles from Greene County, Ashley Nelson from Rusk County, as we look at the local county work of Child Protective Services here in Wisconsin and gathering your questions along the way at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Ashley, Child Protective Services is seeking to ensure that parents who are accused of abuse are able to visit their kids under safe conditions. And you say that some people disagree with this approach. Why do you prioritize these family interactions?
It is so important for kids to see their parents and other family members that they are close with, especially if they're no longer living in the home. They need to maintain those connections and those bonds. They need to be with those people that they love and care about, because no matter what we think from the outside, you know, happened, if, you know, every parent loves their child. Every parent loves their child. I've never heard of any parent that we've worked with that says, I don't love my child. I don't want to see my child. So we need to prioritize those families. That is their unit, and we have to make that a priority. Some people do disagree with that, but you know, that is their family. That's their lifeline. That's who they are.
DJ, what would you like to add there about prioritizing these family interactions?
Well, what research has shown, and I mean, I guess my experience doing this over 30 plus years, is that you have to maintain the attachment between children and their parents, and that doing so generally decreases the amount of time they have to remain out of their home.
Mm. Let's bring in Lisa in Milwaukee with a question. Lisa, hi, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Hey, I have a question. Does the state have any liability from keeping you guys doing your job, you social workers and things? Because with the COVID and stuff, it just, you know what I mean? It hurt a lot of people, not just the victims of these hideous crimes of, you know, abuse and stuff, but you guys couldn't do your jobs properly.
Lisa, thank you. Ashley, can you go into that at all in terms of what you couldn't do due to the pandemic and what impact it has had post-pandemic?
So I think, like DJ said before, was that we still had to do our job. Like, we still had to go out in the field. We had to meet with families. We had to wear face masks, and we had to, you know, hand sanitizer and remain so, like, do social distancing if we had to meet with people outside. And they did allow us to do virtual if the circumstances called for it, but we still had to do that job. I don't think, I guess that's a tough question for the liability piece, because we were still out there doing what we were supposed to do to the best of our ability. And I think that that's where that liability piece is if we did everything in good faith as much as we could, I think that it's the social workers were protected.
DJ, as we wrap up here, what limitations exist for Child Protective Services that people who are outside your work should understand?
Probably two things. The biggest thing to understand is that we are governmental intervention and that we're dictated by laws and standards and that we can't just go into people's homes without a good reason or a good cause based on our assessment. And so, people don't really understand that we can't just, go into someone's home and start interviewing them unless there's a reason. Mm. And everything we do is confidential, so we can never talk about it. We can't talk to the press or the public other people about, specific scenarios or families. So it's very often goes misunderstood.
Thank you both for joining us. DJ Miles there, Child Protective Services Manager for Greene County along the Illinois border. Ashley Nelson, Child Family Services Supervisor for Rusk County. We have links, WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.